So, greetings, friends. My dog come over. He hears me talking. He wants to get involved. Lay down here. Come on. Lay down. I'm using a new webcam, so if this is a little dark, I'll get it adjusted for the next podcast. And for those of you that were hoping to join us last night in Frenchtown on our first class on karma, something happened there with the recording. Not quite sure. But it didn't take. The audio is on the podcast at becoming-buddha.com. Today's talk is on the Nidana Sutta. It's another sutta that speaks to the refined mindfulness developed through the Buddha's Dhamma. It speaks to the three defilements of greed, aversion, and ongoing deluded thinking. And most specifically, it speaks to conditionality, and conditionality is another one of those misapplied terms in modern Buddhism. Boy, it's thrown around almost like candy. The only conditions that the Buddha is concerned about, or the Dhamma is concerned about, are the conditions described in dependent origination that begin in ignorance and end in the ongoing personal experience of an unsatisfactory life. And another word for that would be dukkha. The basic condition arising, the basic condition that arises and produces suffering is ignorance. And so, rather than get lost in the weeds of analyzing or overanalyzing every one of the conditions, which is very, very common. In fact, there's whole Buddhist practices, almost I would call them religions, that are that take one condition out of context, say greed, and turn that around and make that singular defilement a focus of the Dhamma. Of course, you lose sight of everything else that the Buddha was teaching when you do that. It's important, but the Buddha taught a comprehensive and all-inclusive Dhamma that covers all the conditions as long as the proper approach and the proper framework, meaning the Eightfold Path, is engaged with. Let me read a little bit from the Nidana Sutta. And that last is important. We were talking a little bit about this last night in class, that the Buddha's Dhamma is very simple and very direct. The problem is that our minds are so conditioned towards being very, very complicated. And a self-referential ego self's first response is to find a way to employ a strategy to continue to ignore its own ignorance. And one of the ways that it does that is through aversion in our own minds by saying something is either ridiculous or just too complicated to even bother with. And so we become frustrated, and we can actually feel this in our minds. Our minds feel like they're getting tighter and tighter and tighter the more frustrated we feel. And isn't it interesting that people that described a well-concentrated mind as spacious? And it is just that. We're not holding so tightly onto things. We're allowing for the possibility of change to occur and for a new experience to reveal itself to us. And we can embrace all of these unfolding experiences moment by moment as life unfolds if we have developed the framework of the Eightfold Path. And the Buddha addresses all these things in an interesting way in this sutta. So let me read from the sutta a little bit, and then I'll comment. The Buddha teaches, friends, there are three causes for unskillful actions. Greed is a cause for unskillful actions. An unskillful action is anything that is contrary to awakening and contrary to the Eightfold Path. Greed is a cause for unskillful actions. Aversion is a cause for unskillful actions. And deluded thinking is a cause for unskillful actions. The second, aversion, is really a form of greed or craving. Greed is a form of craving or desire. It's all really the same thing as far as the Dhamma is concerned. Greed is obviously craving a desire for wanting more of something, but aversion is the same desire with the focus of less or none of something, to have less of an experience. But it's all the same thing, but it all arises out of that third defilement, which is really what we're dealing with in an overarching way in the Dhamma, is deluded thinking, where our thinking is conditioned from ignorance and so results in delusion and a deluded life experience. And so the Buddha realized that and developed a way of, one, with, and this is really the brilliance of the Buddha's Dhamma, of recognizing that we are deluded. Now, if you think about that, how would a deluded mind know that it's deluded? It couldn't unless it has the proper framework. And that's why the Buddha developed an Eightfold Path, to go from wrong view to that first factor of the Eightfold Path of right view. Of course, it takes the entire framework of the Eightfold Path to do that. The Buddha continues. Any action that is born from greed through conceit or eye-making will bring further confusion and suffering as life unfolds. Anything that is born out of greed. So we have to be careful, and this gets real to very subtle levels of eye-making. This is where a confused compassion that grasps on generosity as a way of proving its compassion is an expression of just that. It's greed, because what you've acquired already as an aspect of eye-making is now put out into the world as another aspect of that, and it's rooted in eye-making, rather than to have no self-reference in all of that process and simply be free and mindful of life as life occurs. And so that's impossible when we start putting conditions such as, in a situation, I'll act this way, and in another situation, I'll act that way. That's of two minds, or you could even say it's of split minds. What's important is to take care of our mind in the present moment as life unfolds. And then as opportunities towards generosity arise, it simply becomes a natural function of who we are, rather than a deliberate act of eye-making. I'm going to save that person. I'm going to save that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That's the ultimate problem with the idea of the bodhisatta, or the bodhisattva, which is something the Buddha left behind when he awakened. The Buddha often referred to himself as an unawakened bodhisattva prior to his awakening. This talk isn't about that, but one in the future will be. But that's the difference between what the Buddha taught as awakening and what modern Buddhism teaches as awakening. Modern Buddhism holds to the philosophy that it's impossible in this age to achieve arahantship, but we can develop as a bodhisattva. And of course, the Buddha didn't see that. And now that vow has been twisted around to say that I hold my own awakening in abeyance. I put it off until all awakened human beings are awakened. And when you think about that, that simply contradicts the First Noble Truth, and it contradicts the Buddha's Dhamma, because the Buddha taught to awaken in this lifetime. It has nothing to do with bringing other people along, except the fact that by example, we can lead other people to the Dhamma, which is exactly how the Buddha did it. The Buddha didn't set out to save the world. He simply set out to help anyone who was interested in saving themselves. Let me continue. Any action that is born from aversion through eye-making will bring further confusion and suffering as individual life unfolds. Any action that is born from deluded thinking through eye-making or conceit will bring further confusion and suffering as individual life unfolds. Just as a healthy and viable seed, when planted in properly prepared soil and attended to improperly, will prove unsatisfactory, in the same way, greed, aversion, and deluded thinking will bring actions that will develop unsatisfactory experiences. Now, when actions are born that are free of greed, free of aversion, and free of deluded thinking, confusing and unsatisfactory experiences will not develop as individual life unfolds. Stop bothering me. Lay down. Come on. Just as a healthy and viable seed, when planted in well-prepared, meaning well-concentrated soil, and attended to properly through refined mindfulness, will grow and increase in abundance. In the same way, one well-prepared with the proper conditions will develop lasting peace and happiness. And those proper conditions, of course, are developed through the Eightfold Path, including Shamatha Vipassana meditation, used to deepen concentration and not for experience or escape. A person ignorant of their own actions, born of greed, aversion, and delusion, must experience the result of their actions. We're going through this series of karma and rebirth now in the Frenchtown classes, and this is an important point. This is where the Nidana Sutta speaks to karma, and it speaks to the entire Dhamma in that way. Must experience the result of their actions. That's karma. Karma is a present moment unfolding of past intentional actions, moderated by the present level of our mindfulness. That means that whatever is unfolding in our life right now, if it's experienced from a mind that is still rooted in ignorance and lacking any understanding of the Four Noble Truths, will only create a reaction in the mind, which further conditions the mind and furthers karma. A mind that is well framed by the Eightfold Path and well concentrated through shamatha vipassana meditation will be mindful of their life as their life unfolds and gradually diminish reaction to life, and so to continue to not continue the motivation or the momentum behind karma, and eventually bring karma to its cessation. In the Bhava Sutta, the Buddha talks about it, mentions this process this way: that karma is the field consciousness, the seed, and craving the moisture. Speaking directly to what we're talking about here today, so karma is the field of our life. We can grow anything we want, depending on what we hold in mind, because what we hold in mind is the seed that's going to produce in our field, in the field of our life. And if craving is the moisture, the nutriment that we're giving to what we're holding in mind, we're only going to produce in our life unsatisfactory experiences rooted in that confusion and delusion. But if we are able to develop, and all human beings are, if we're able to develop a well-concentrated mind framed by the Eightfold Path, then each moment becomes an opportunity and a foundation towards awakening. And that's the true refined mindfulness. You know, this idea of being in the now and the power of now and all that really is just another distraction, because there's no such thing as the present moment. There's no such thing as a now. But what there is in the Dhamma is a way to recognize the ongoing process of eye making, and that's the importance of being present for our life as our life unfolds, because it's the only time that we can take the as life unfolds, or being present for our life as our life unfolds, is the only time that we can gain control of our own minds in the present moment. Okay, I was going to read a little bit more, but I think I'll end it right there. This whole notion of, it's not a notion, it's the essence of the Dhamma, or one of the foundations of the three defilements, greed, aversion, and deluded thinking. It's important to recognize that greed, aversion, and deluded thinking arise out of ignorance, and compel us to live lives of conceit, of eye-making. Because of that, greed is obviously a form of, or arises from eye-making. It arises from having established a needy self in the world. Excuse me. Which is what anatta is, what the five clinging aggregates are. They can never be satisfied. They're consumed by greed and aversion. Remember, that's the aversion is just the other side of the same coin, and they're all rooted in that deluded thinking. So, in a logical way, it doesn't make sense unless you believe that certain rituals or chanting can somehow indirectly change the way you think. Then that's fine to pursue that. But if you understand that we alone are responsible for what occurs in our minds, and we alone can change what occurs in our minds by directed practice, by a well-conscious, the whole point of concentration is to see the eye-making in our life experience and to use the other seven factors of the Eightfold Path to recognize and abandon that eye-making. It takes all eight factors of the Eightfold Path. The virtuous factors of right speech, right action, and right livelihood. We talked a little bit about this last night. When you realize how brilliant it is to focus on our behavior to recognize deluded thinking, it's astonishing. When you realize the depth of that understanding, of course, a deluded mind doesn't want anything to do with that idea. So it'll create any kind of scenario, including rituals and practices, including anything other than what the Buddha taught, even within modern Buddhism, to continue as a Dhamma practice, or a Dharma practice, I should say. It's not Dhamma because it's not rooted in what the Buddha actually taught. And again, I'm not putting down anything else, but it's remarkable how effective, and I would say how quickly effective, meaning it doesn't take endless eons, in this lifetime we can awaken, how quickly effective the Buddha's Eightfold Path is when the embellishments and the accommodations and contradictions that have been applied to the Dhamma are avoided, which is with something that's a good aversion. It rises out of a skillful understanding of exactly what the Buddha taught. The simplest way of understanding if something that is held out as Buddhist practice to understand if it comes from direct teaching of the Buddha is if it's based on one of the suttas, that's fine. If it's based in a sutra, it's a later developed teaching and it's not taught by the historical Buddha. And also, if you can relate it to the Four Noble Truths and dependent origination, then it's likely a teaching of the Buddha. But most of what's not isn't. And it takes an understanding of what the Buddha actually taught through the suttas to be able to discern what the Buddha actually taught and what has been embellished over time. And what has been embellished over time, the motivation behind that is usually the three defilements. And if you look at an article on my website, Modern Buddhism, A Thicket of Views, it goes into this in a little bit more detail than I will today. But the most important thing is to be very, very gentle with ourselves, to continue to engage in a routine meditation practice. By that I mean engaging in shamatha vipassana twice a day, every day, to commit to that for as long as we're sitting. And then to develop the entire framework of the Eightfold Path, which of course is what all of my classes and my books are about. So I hope you found benefit from this talk. And if you did, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. And I hope to see you next week. Peace.
Thank you for listening. I rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. I welcome your questions and comments. To contact me and for guided meditations and instructions, Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos, please visit becoming-buddha.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Peace.